Okay, buttons pressed.
Okay, so it's 17:50 and we'll call today's board meeting to order. I'm gonna do a roll call. Christian, here. Larry?
Here.
John?
Here.
Wilma? Ricky?
Here.
Nice to have y'all. Thanks for coming. Okay, Sherry, you got our flag?
I'm getting it. We're sharing, right?
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, so we're on to the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma.
I'll second it.
We'll give that to Ricky. Okay, so all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Next on the list is the consent agenda. Can we get a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ricky. Thank you, John. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. So now we're on to public comment, and we have public today. So does anybody want to comment?
I just want to recognize, I see Nancy, another one of our employees, has connected. And Nancy, we encourage not lurking if you can. You might be doing something that you don't want us to see. But if you want to put your camera on and wave hi to us, we'd wave back.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay.
So we got no public comment.
Hear none.
So we'll go on to our reports. Do any of our board members have reports? Okay.
Happy. Oh, no. I was going to say happy COVID-19 Thursday, but yeah, whatever.
Nice. Okay. Sherry, we have about 7 minutes before DMS. Do you want to do yours?
I will do mine. And I want to point out that we have scheduled DMS. We have a new representative there. Candace has been moved off our case, and Valerie Rogers is now our person. So she'll be joining us. I've been working with her for about 2 weeks now, and things are going pretty well. Candace is still working with us through the audit, and then she will, you know, completely step away. Okay. And we have somebody from Young Mini Corps speaking to us. She's scheduled for 6:10. So if that's okay, you know, I'd like to just, I'll share a little bit on my report, but if we can just keep moving forward, and then when they join us, maybe we can pause and let them do their reports.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Thank you. So I sent you my report, and I want to add that the County Department of Public Health came out yesterday to Doyle and conducted an inspection. They wanted to do site inspections before schools opened, and they appeared to be pretty happy with what they saw. They were good with Doyle, you know, moving forward. Actually, I think they commented that they couldn't believe how well thought out and well planned everything was. So that was really nice to hear. So I think we're ready. That staff has just worked their selves to the bone to make sure that they get everything in order and ready. So it's been a huge effort. We had staff testing for COVID yesterday at Doyle. The Portola staff, most of them drove up to get tested. And then the county public health was in Susanville on Monday doing testing of our employees at that location at that time. I've still not gotten a call back. They're supposed to be calling me back to do an inspection of Susanville, but that just hasn't gotten scheduled yet. But I think they're pretty ready also. You know, they've accounted for all the things that the health department wanted us to make sure was done. So again, it's been a huge effort on all of our employees' parts. We've asked for a really heavy lift on everyone in every department. No matter where you are in our school, you're having lots of extra requirements on you just even to get ready. I'm thrilled to report no one's gone running from the building yet. So so we actually have a group that's really strong and working hard. So I'm hopeful that all goes well beginning next week.
Okay. Anything else?
No, just, you know, part of what's in the policies that you'll be hopefully approving tonight, we are looking at making sure we are testing staff at least, you know, every 2 months and kind of doing a little bit staggered. So this way we are assuring our families and each other that we are without virus.
Now, will that, kind of going back to our previous conversation, Sherry, will the testing be done by the county health department, or will we be sending people up to our local clinics? How are we going to do that?
So I want, you know, I'm always going to give people the option of what they feel most comfortable doing. It's my intention as frequently as possible. And while Plumas maybe hasn't made it as available locally here, mm-hmm. Susanville has testing twice a week. That's a drive up, easy to schedule, no cost. So, you know, people have been doing that already.
Okay.
They prefer to go to their own provider. They can do that. And like I said, Elle called the other day to the group that we buy our health insurance with, and they told her that it's a legal mandate for them to pay to cover those tests. So,
is there a limit on the how many tests you can get?
You know what? I've never heard that, and they didn't share that there was a limit. So,
I was thinking that if we're going to be texting frequently, I would hate for there be a loophole.
Well, one step at a time, Christian, right? And
very true.
I'm assuming our board will make sure we help cover that if that's the case. But yeah, okay. I heard that. Cool. I assume Elle's not in the room, in the back of the room somewhere, is she? Oh, look, she is.
There she is.
They didn't say that, did they, Elle?
There is no limit, so they can get tested as much, but if they turn positive for COVID, then it's a whole different ballgame. Their deductibles and all that come into play. It's not free anymore.
Okay, but the testing part is free. So, thanks.
Okay, so Valerie should be dialing in now.
Almost. I don't see her showing up on my screen yet. So I can give you a quick update on the reopening. And that's last month you approved a reopening plan, which then each of the sites took that as their guideline and then added extra detail. So you will not have seen a lot of change to what we were doing, simply that level of here's where you're entering, here's what arrival and departure look like, you know, all the specifics for each location. So that reopening plan added some pages because we added those pieces, so it's all in one place.
So, Sharon, I have a question.
Yeah.
How does the school fall in the federal mandate? Because I know that they're trying to do something about if they assume you caught it on campus or at your work site, and if that's the case, then it's workman's comp and it complicates things. How does the charter school fall under that if somebody tests positive? Is it going to be workman's comp, or how they're going to work? Because that's interesting, because it could be, you know, the school's liable to pay because it's workman's comp.
Well, I'm going to say we have our representative from our legal firm showing up here, right, in about 10 minutes. And Elle, do you have anything you'd want to add on that?
No, I mean, that really hasn't been, I haven't seen any verbiage on that. We're just mandated by the league if they do get it, or if, you know, that take care of family members or such. But I haven't seen anything where it'd be our responsibility under a workman's comp.
But I think having Sarah Coleman, I think, is joining us tonight. I think that'll be a good question, Ricky, if you want to pose it to her once she's sure. here. That'd be great, because she's really going to address liability. So I think that falls right under there.
Will do.
Okay. We lost somebody. Oh, okay. So, and then the other info item I had for you was just an update on our purchase sale agreements. You know, things are still, everything's moving forward. The USDA required us to do that study of the underground tank in Doyle, and that happened, and the soil samples were taken. Today, like 2 hours ago, I think, I got an update from the GES, the environmental study folk out of Reno, sent us and said all the levels were below what was sort of the acceptable, you know, the limit on what it could be. So there was a little bit of, I think they're hydrocarbons or some name. I'll forward that on to everybody. But those, it should be acceptable to USDA, the soil samples. So that's good news. And hopefully we can get the state to sign off that's completely closed now. In Portola, we've had inspections, and so far, so good on those also. So again, everything's kind of moving forward, but just in process. So allow me, this is a good moment, let me to introduce Valerie Rogers. Valerie, thanks for joining us here. This is the board, and we have some employees with us observing this evening. You are muted. There you go.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone. It's really great to meet you. Got a full house here. Yeah, like Sherry said, my name is Valerie Rogers, and I have been with DMS for right around 4 years and worked in the finance department, and I'm super excited to be joining part of the Long Valley Thompson Peak team, so look forward to spending the evening here with you.
Well, we're going to let you go after. You don't have to spend the whole evening, Valerie, but we'll take it if you want to, okay?
For a half an hour. Okay, that sounds great. Okay. Did you want me to go right into our presentation of the revised budget?
Please.
Okay, great. Well, I'm sure you guys are all aware that this year is unlike any other, and we've seen a lot of memes about 2020 and all that good stuff. And so it wouldn't be 2020 without redoing budgets. So that's why we're representing the July budget to you tonight. When you reviewed and approved your original July budget, there were a great deal of unknowns. And so we had to go with what we knew at the time. And between the time you approved it to this evening, the state did finalize the budget, their budget, and there were quite a few changes, and there were three primary changes, and that's why we're presenting a revised budget tonight. The first primary change was they removed a large cut to your main funding, your LCFF funding, and that was going to be almost an 8% cut, and that went away. So that's the good news. You are receiving more revenue than we originally anticipated. The not so great news is they did two things to try to counterbalance that. And so for the entire year of 2021, the school will have what's called a hold harmless ADA. And ADA is your average daily attendance. So what that means is they're going to take a, they want to look back at your 2019-20 ADA for the last half of the year. And they're going to tell you, they're saying, that's what we're going to pay you on, regardless of where your attendance ends up. So for schools like you guys that are getting quite a bit of growth, you're having to absorb those extra students and that growth and not receive funding on it in the 2021 year. So that's kind of a big challenge. And the other, the third item that they changed is they deferred revenue. And so they took a large chunk of the money that they restored and they gave to you. And they said, we're going to pay that to you, but you're not going to get it for several months. You won't get it in the 2021 fiscal year. And that's kind of a little trick that our wonderful state does to balance their budget. I see somebody nodding their head. They know what I'm talking about. So it's like, yeah, here's your, what's that? Okay. Yeah. So anyway, they're giving you the funding. They're just going to give it to you several months down the road. So they're basically putting that on you as a school to manage your cash flow very wisely. And you guys have done a tremendous job doing that. So that's me kind of just giving you the overview of why we're presenting a revised budget, the three main reasons from the state. The other reason, in addition to that, is we were able to take away the salary, wage, and freezes that we had in place in the initial July budget because of all the unknowns. So with funding restored, we were able to reverse those salary, wages, and freezes. So that's kind of an in a nutshell. Do you guys have any questions about the page two, the summary narrative? I kind of like to just explain it more in rather than reading it, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have on the narrative. No? We're good? Okay. Then the other one, the other page I'd like you to take a look at, and again, I'm sorry, I'm looking at Long Valley here initially. I didn't clarify that. I apologize for that. Let me think here. There's one other thing about Long Valley. Okay. One other little kind of wrinkle with Long Valley on their funding. The Doyle campus, when we originally planned your budget, we assumed that you guys would get the funding for your classroom-based portion. That did not come through on the schedule from the CDE. And we feel that that's not appropriate and we're appealing that. And we have reached out to the CDE to see if we can get funding for this learning loss mitigation. It's a one-time fund that they only give to classroom-based schools. So we're appealing that and we're not gonna let that go. We're gonna follow up with the CDE, right?
Just to add, that's, you know, because we're a combined school with non-classroom and classroom. In this case, you know, we always get this, Valerie. If there is a negative outcome, that's the one they pick. They said, yeah, we're non-classroom based and we're not going to give you that chunk of money. So is it about 30-something thousand? Is that what that was?
That one was, I think that was closer to 90,000, actually. Oh, okay. So. Yeah, we're gonna continue to pursue that, and we feel like we have pretty solid footing, so we're gonna hope for a good outcome on that. So that is kind of it in a nutshell on your narrative with Long Valley. Then if we wanna take a look at this at the page three, that just gives you kind of a summary of, you know, where you were at your second interim budget and then that original July budget that you approved. And then tonight's revised July budget. So the variance column is comparing your approved July budget to tonight's budget. So you can see that you're getting more funding, $136,000 more. We have additional expenditures with the salaries, and then you will be ending the year with a at this point, a very small deficit. However, we are being very conservative with this budget. And as you guys might recall, you received the PPP loan funding, and we have not received your formal loan forgiveness yet. So we're being very conservative with that. When you do receive your formal loan forgiveness, then we're going to go ahead and add that revenue in to this year's budget. So you'll end up in the black once that happens. And that, we're thinking that's going to be close to the end of the year. We'll be getting that all finalized, the end of the calendar year. So that's kind of a summary there on your revised budget, comparing the two. Don't know if you have any specific questions on that page. Then we have a multi-year summary that we worked on, and multi-year detail. Happy to field any questions on that. Sherry and I have combed through that and made adjustments where necessary in your out years. This particular year, 2021, being the crazy year again, you have a lot of one-time funds. You might have heard talk about it in the news. So you're getting the learning loss mitigation funds, and you're also getting other funding called ESSER funding. So you won't see those monies in the federal categorical, in the federal revenue for the two subsequent years. So your federal revenues are lower because of this year. You have like a one-time funding for COVID items. And then if we want to take a look at page 8, that's your cash flow. And like I said, you guys have done a really great job stewarding your resources here. But this kind of shows you, if you wanted to take a look up towards the top on the revenue line, right under that revenue, it says LCFF state aid. And that's the money that the state is saying it owes you, but it's going to defer a very large amount of it to pay you in the following year. So they're going to defer 32% of what they owe you. They're going to also defer, you have some other deferrals down below. So you're able to absorb that because you have strong cash reserves, but I just wanted to point that out.
Wasn't that Wimpy on Popeye? I'll gladly pay you for a hamburger tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, that's an appropriate phrase to call out at this point. So that is Long Valley in a nutshell, and happy to field any questions. And I also just like to say too, if I'm talking too fast or if I throw out some acronym that you might not be aware, there are no silly questions. So please feel free to ask me to clarify or speak slower. So let me know if you have any questions on this particular budget.
In fact, Valerie, I'm gonna say you could almost speak faster.
Oh, okay. I will pick it up. All right.
Thank you.
Got a good group here. Sure. Okay.
Nope, she does speak real slow now.
Wait, did we lose you or did we lose me?
We lost her.
Okay.
She speaks real slow now, Sherry.
Yeah. Valerie, I don't know if you're hearing us, but you are absolutely frozen now. Okay. There we are.
Okay. You guys were all frozen. I apologize. So we move on to Thompson Peak. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So Thompson Peak, we'll take a quick peek here at your narrative.
Maybe you could just identify if there's anything really different from what you shared about Long Valley.
Right. So Thompson Peak has not as strong cash reserves. And we have talked about with them, with this particular school, you're accumulating money for the lease purchase. And we're just trying to say, in light of all the deferrals that the state is giving, to just be very mindful of that money that you're saving and potentially consider, you know, financing for the purchase versus using your cash reserves, just because of we think this is going to be ongoing, and we think that the 21-22 year will be probably bleaker than this year. So that would be my comment on Thompson Peak with your purchase down the road. Let's see. No other outliers here. If we take a look at your cash flow page, page 8, we're doing okay. We have some paybacks of the loan, the revolving loan fund coming in. And again, we have not booked the PPP revenue for this particular school as well, but we'll be doing that once we get loan revenues forgiven. Okay. So we're in good shape, but my advice on this would just be, you know, be mindful of the cash reserves.
Right. And so that was part of our conversation. Valerie really said, you know, you guys have been doing great with cash. Very nice that you've been trying to save that money to make a cash purchase for the building for Thompson Peak, but you know, you probably could get financing. You might want to preserve cash for this, these future months of deferral and complication.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Questions for Valerie? I'm not seeing any, Valerie. It's so nice to have met you for everyone.
Yeah.
For you know.
Yeah, great, great meeting.
First time.
Yes, great meeting all of you, and we'll be connecting again in the subsequent months with your monthly updates, and working on closing out the 19-20 year, and everything is looking great. So. Thank you so much for your time, and hope you guys have a great evening.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
And next, I want to introduce to you, some of you may have heard Sarah speak before. This is Sarah Coleman from Young Mini Corps. And I had a conversation with Paul Mini this last week, and he was not able to join us, but he offered up Sarah to come and talk to us because
all willing sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right. All the schools kind of had the shock of realization about some liability issues. So Sarah, can you help us know what we're talking about?
Well, actually, it would be helpful if you give me a little bit more of the scope of your conversation with
okay.
Paul.
Okay.
You know what he generally wanted to talk to you about, but not a lot of the details. So probably to make my
point. So, you know, basically we do not have liability for COVID-related matters, but I understand we've never had, if there was a pandemic for some other kind of outbreak, we wouldn't have had it. So it's not special for COVID. It's the nature of liability insurance for schools, I guess, and the other things. And the other part we had talked about, we said, what's the risk? Because we've actually had two schools in Lassen County decide to go completely distance learning, even though we're not on the monitoring list. So there was that little bit of knee jerk of, oh my gosh, we're not covered. There was a bill in progress that we thought maybe the legislature would provide us with a little bit of coverage. I really felt like the board needed to have this level of knowledge of where we stand and what our liability is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah, so the bill that Sherry is referring to is AB 1384, which was a bill introduced ironically by O'Donnell, who is the same guy who introduced 1505 and 1507, including the charter school non-classroom-based moratorium, which basically would have provided a liability exemption for school districts and charter schools for negligence and more generally for claims about COVID that are work-related, that are, you know, getting sick at school, that sort of thing. However, it would not have provided coverage or an exemption for liability that's related to gross negligence or willful misconduct. So, you know, if you're negligent, if you take basic actions that maybe aren't reasonable but aren't really unreasonable, then you would have been exempted from liability. But from talking with the people who know the politics, it sounds like there was some inter-party spatting between the two houses that for whatever reason has now resulted in this bill being put on hold. I'm not sure. It seems unlikely that it will be reinstated for this legislative session. There's obviously, since the legislature has a much more condensed and shortened term because they were closed for several weeks as a result of a positive COVID test at the Capitol, they're just trying to do a lot in a very short period of time. And so that means that it is unlikely that this bill will pass or make it through even out of the House. There was the possibility of the federal exemption as well, which the Republicans were pushing just to not just specifically to school districts, but to employers more generally. But that I just read this afternoon that apparently these talks on this second relief bill have stalled again. So not probably going to be taken up again until September, and thus the two options that might have been existed to provide this exemption from liability have not resulted in anything. As Sherry said, your insurance policies and all insurance policies have almost always exemptions for things like global pandemics, for force majeure events that are out of the control of anybody. And so, Sherry, can you remind me, are you with CharterSafe?
We are, so we have that little cushion for...
Yeah, so CharterSafe has established a fund essentially to provide coverage for COVID-related claims for its schools. However, the claims, the coverage is only for, I think it's $50,000 of attorney's fees. There's no coverage for damages.
Right.
And the fund is a total of $2 million, and it's $50,000 per occurrence, and then a total of $2 million total. So whatever 2 million divided by 50 is, it's not a lot of money. And again, it doesn't cover damages. So you're only covered for your fees. So
if we're going to get in trouble, we should do it soon.
Exactly. Really screw up now. Don't wait till later. So that's where things stand in terms of whether you would be covered and what the scope of whether there are any protections on the scope of your liability. You know, there are already claims coming out are being filed around COVID. You know, if it's unclear, and the other thing I'll add, sorry, on the liability issue is the waiver option. You know, I think it's been pretty clearly stated that if you are requiring teachers to come back to campus, or so employees to come back to campus, that a waiver is not an option. They're very frowned upon in California generally. And they don't provide protection if you are requiring someone, for example, to come back to work. If you give teachers an option to come back to work, there is the possibility. So if you say to teachers, you can teach from campus or you can teach from your home, there is the possibility there of being able to have a waiver for teachers. If you have teachers choose to, you know, send their kids to campus for childcare, we recommend a waiver in those circumstances. Just because one of the benefits of a waiver is not only having people waive their liability against the school, but also making sure that they are aware of the risks associated with any action they are electing to take. So, you know, if you have told families, same thing for signing a field trip waiver. If you told a family, you know, we are going on a field trip to Yosemite, and, you know, here are all the potential risks associated with outdoor adventures. We're going to take all precautions, but there are risks that are sort of unavoidable no matter what, then that reduces your liability somewhat because it's a choice by a family and you've made them aware of the risks. So with regards to COVID, you know, if you are opening while your county is now has been off or never was on the monitoring list, so you are legally allowed to open under the governor's order, you are opening yourself up to more liability. However, a lot of it is the surrounding environment. So typically when you are filing, let's say somebody gets sick, what they're going to do is they're going to file a negligence claim against you, amongst other things. They're going to say you were negligent in your cleaning procedures, in your choice to reopen, et cetera. And negligence is a reasonableness standard. So what would the reasonable person do? If all the other schools in Lassen County are open, then that suggests that the reasonable thing that other reasonable people are doing is opening. And if your protocols around cleaning and social distancing and mask wearing, et cetera, follow CDC or CDPH guidelines and or are consistent with the protocols that are in place at other district schools or other area schools, those are also demonstrations of how your actions are reasonable. But if you're doing something that's different than what other people are doing, so Sherry said that two schools have elected to open in distance learning. Are those school district schools, I assume?
Yeah, sorry, yes.
So that kind of pushes the line the other way, right? So some people are electing to not do in-person instruction, at least at the start of the school year, which suggests that some quote-unquote reasonable people are taking the position that it is not safe to reopen schools in the fall.
So that's like 2 out of 7.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, all of this, and all of this, yeah, as always, is very factual based. So, you know, if you have amazing protocols in place and somebody comes to school, chooses not to wear their mask as they're on campus, has to leave and then gets sick, you know, that's a different fact pattern than all of the protocols being followed and, or no, sorry, excuse me, a different fact pattern than like you guys having these protocols in place but not really implementing them and like, you know, not really cleaning a classroom every day or something like that. So there's a spectrum of fact patterns that, you know, you could probably guess what is a typical fact pattern that would be create more liability or more likelihood of liability. And you can always get sued. That's the unfortunate, I won't say lawyers suck, but it's one of the frustrating aspects of being an attorney is, you know, there's always the potential that you'll get sued whether or not there is liability there. But the one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the kinds of lawyers who sue on these kinds of issues, they do so with knowledge of what your insurance policy looks like. And, you know, typically you'll see a claim for something that is just at the limits of your policy because they know that your policy covers whatever, however many dollars max. So, you know, in this case, if they know that you have attorney's fees covered up to a certain amount, but you're not covered for damages, you know, they're not gonna, but they, so their belief that they could get a extremely large sum of money out of the school may be tempered somewhat by the fact that you don't have insurance coverage. Don't count on that, though.
No, we're...
So, hopefully that helps. I don't know if you have any other specific questions, but it's really kind of a balancing act.
I have a question, Sarah.
Yeah.
So, there's a law, I think it's federal, that they're trying to pass a law. I don't know where it is in the House or Senate, but they're trying to make it to where if you catch coronavirus as an employee, it's an assumption that you caught it at work, and then you can file workman's comp. How does that work? How does the school fall into that if somebody tests positive? What are the rights? Like, if they test positive, are they going to get them same rights, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think right now, and I'd have to double check this, I think right now in California as well, if you get sick at work, you're supposed to be filing for workers' compensation. What I'd mentioned earlier, the federal law was about waiving liability, and any claim that they would file. So Governor Newsom had passed a law right when this thing was starting, I believe, that essentially said that, you know, you should be filing workers' comp if you get sick at work. I don't know if that, or maybe it was part of his executive order. So I don't know if that was ever made its way into law, and I could find out for you. But I know that you're right, that the federal level, they were considering that, and that has not passed. That's part of the bigger, or, you know, second wave of coronavirus relief bill that is stuck.
And is that as simple as it sounds? If you happen to get tested on your private time, say on a Saturday, and you test positive and you're not at work, then you can't assume you got it at work? Or is it only if you get tested at work?
I don't think that's accurate, only because there are really so few places of employment that offer COVID testing. unless you work at a hospital or like a, you know, a pharmacy or something. I don't know how that would, but you know, if you get sick, if you start feeling ill at work, you then go to a testing site and get tested, then that maybe would create the necessary connection. Or if, you know, if you are at work or somebody at work tests positive and you then start feeling ill and you get tested and you don't feel well and you get, and you test positive, that might also be, that might also be a good connection.
Okay.
Connection that suggests COVID is the result. But I will find out and I will email Sherry the answer to your question tomorrow morning.
Okay, so, thank you.
For sure.
Thanks. Are there other questions? So I did put our reopening plan, which has been refined, back on the agenda today so that if Sarah said something to you or what I've explained makes you just completely like, there's no way we can open because of the liability, I wanted you to have that opportunity, you know, to make that decision. Of course, the pitchfork, people with pitchforks, no kidding. So, any other comments or questions while we have Sarah here?
I'm good. Thank you, Sarah, for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Anybody at Doyle? Because I can't always hear super clear. No?
I see three people in a large classroom, very socially distanced. Bravo.
They got it.
And masked.
And masks. We have rules and we follow them.
Hashtag wear a damn mask. Whatever that line is.
Thanks, Sarah.
Right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Well, on a side note, Sherry, I don't know if you'd heard, but Sierra County is opening Loyalton High School and Elementary School.
Wow. Very good. Very so. Good. I like it, John. It's a good look. Don't you need one of those long ones to cover the beard or?
You know, John could just fold his beard up. It'd be a natural filter.
Have you guys seen the movie Tombstone?
Long time ago.
I have a mask on order that has Doc Holliday in his quote. It says, "Forgive me if I don't shake your hands." And that's awesome. I'm going to wear that everywhere I go.
That's cool. it's
awesome.
So I think we're ready for action items unless anybody
All right.
has comments.
Okay, so let's go to, hang on one second. I got to move my screen. It's doing weird things. Action item A, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the revised budget for Long Valley School and Thompson Peak Charter School. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. I will second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of reinstating step increases for certified staff, continuing in the same position, retroactive to July 1st of 2020. I will make that motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Wait. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a 3% wage increase for classified staff continuing in the same position, retroactive and effective July 1st of 2020. I will make a motion.
I'll second.
I think Ricky got that one. Okay. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Fantastic. Okay, so discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the updated school reopening plan. Do I have a motion?
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. I'll second. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. E, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the annual statement of need for 30-day substitute teacher permits for LVS and TPC. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, John. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item F, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the declaration of need for fully qualified educators for LVS and TPC. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve that as stated.
Thank you, Ricky. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the CBEST waiver for substitute teachers for the year 2020 through 2021 for LVS and TPC. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. A second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item H, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the employee handbook. Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion as stated.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item I, discussion and possible action regarding the adoption of the student handbook and annual notices. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ricky. I'll second. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Item J, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the revised distance learning policy 3010. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. Do we have a second? I'll second. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item K, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the master agreements with Lassen County Office of Education for LVS and TPC. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Ricky.
I'll second it.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Okay. Item L, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of an update to policy 5004, bus conduct and safety. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Wilma. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. On to item M, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the update to the transportation safety plan. I'll make a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item N, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of an update to policy 6003, suspension and expulsions. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Larry. John, you want a second?
Yep, I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item O, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the update to policy 6015, title, I can't remember nine. That.
Title
nine, thank you. Title nine, harassment and imitation, discrimination and bullying.
Do I'll we make have a motion? Motion so stated.
Thank you, John. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll. Christian? Aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. And item P, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the COVID-19 health and safety plan. Do we have a motion?
A motion.
Thank you, Wilma. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
And there it is. That's how it's done. So, future items. We've got a public hearing for the learning continuation, and attendance plan.
Can I want to throw out, so that meeting will happen on September 10th. And then our requirement is to have a subsequent, it could be the next day, the next week, another meeting to approve it. So you have to have the hearing and then on a different day have a meeting to approve it. And it all has to be done by the end of September. So I want to kind of say, could we do it like the following Thursday?
Yeah, that would work for me.
To have a meeting on the 17th, it should be pretty quick unless something dramatic happens in between.
So we'll have our regular board meeting September 10th, and then we'll do a special meeting on the 17th just to confirm all that.
Right.
Both same time, 5:45?
Yep. That's what I would plan for.
Works for me.
I wanted to mention that I sent all of you a training notice that California Charter School Association and YMC are doing a joint board training. It's going to have some Brown Act business, especially Brown Act with still doing Zoom meetings, where that's part of the focus, and just some oversight with all these complications. So they're doing it two evenings in a row. So that's coming your way in your email if you choose to register. It's a freebie. So, you know, go ahead and register for it. It's next week, like Tuesday, Wednesday night from 6 to 7:30. And then their YMC, you know, in the past, Lisa's come down, right, and done a training for everybody, Brown Act training, because you're required to have an annual Brown Act training. They are going to do that by a webinar in October. So just to, I don't have those dates yet, but.
Okay. Sounds good. So we're going to call this meeting adjourned at 18:44. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too. Good job.
Thank you.
Jerry.
Yep. John.
I got a question for you. Have you-